for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm still drinking my drink.
But you are also...
I'm also Max Cooper.
This is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 12 plus years in the games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturists, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can by telling your friends, telling your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com, so shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. But we are back after a week off as I was moving house. And there was absolutely no fucking way I would even remotely have this entire setup back up and running on the Sunday night. I don't even think I got my computer up and running until like what, Tuesday? Whenever it was, because I one of the first things I did was obviously play Elder Scrolls Online, and then you get a ding on Steam from you being like, "Hey, your computer's working." But it was all good. We're all moved into the new house now. I've got the setup in a new space. It's in a corner, which you guys can't really tell the difference from the way this is cropped, but it's in a corner, so it's a little bit different to what it was. But it looks almost identical behind me. Done that by design, because I liked it that way, so why change it? But the only thing I don't know is these ceilings are a lot higher here, so it's a lot harder for me to really acoustically treat the room properly. So I might sound a little echoey, and if I do, I don't know how to fix it, so sorry. But Max, how about you? How was your week off?
It was fine. I mean, I had mum here.
Yeah, I think so. Also, Mute in the chat says, "Sounds good to me." Fantastic. Big Shep. Yeah, Big Shep's going on. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Absolutely. And that's pretty much exactly the plan. The only thing that's missing, if for those of you on the video, I don't have my LED strips up because they're the ones that like you stuck down. And once it's stuck, it's pretty fucking stuck. So then when I bought it, just ripped a whole bunch of shelf off. I'm like, hopefully I can restick this. If not, I might have to buy a new one, which I don't want to do. So I will absolutely just repurpose that.
Double-sided tape.
Yes, I'm thinking. But yes, I believe your mum was down.
I think so. So I think she left last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool. Having mum around is always good. I've just been so fucking tired. The last three nights, I've gone to bed at like 10 o'clock at night.
Well, for you, that's gnarly.
Yeah, because that's when I usually start work. So like I've been absolutely rooted the last couple of... I said the last 4 or 5 days. Mm. I've just been... I'm really tired. Ollie's almost walking, so he's like progressing because he's learning a new skill.
Yeah. And babies can only focus on one thing at any given time.
This morning, the little bastard woke up at 5 a.m. And I'm like, "It's too early. You can just come into bed with me and we'll cuddle and we'll go back to sleep." And he's just like, "Touch face, pick nose, shove finger in mouth." I'm like, "Okay, you're a pain in the ass. Let's go get you some food. And then you can go back to sleep in your own bed, motherfucker." So luckily he went back down and I went back to sleep for a while. But yeah, it's been fine. Yeah, just going through the motions. Because last weekend, I didn't have a weekend. Because I worked on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I helped you move house for a little bit and did bunch of crap in the morning. So I felt like I just didn't get a weekend last weekend, so I kind of just worked through this week. And now this weekend I said to Ali, I'm like, I just don't want to do anything. I just want to chill.
Yeah, no, I'm in that similar vein, but because I'm a fucking sociopath, psychopath towards myself, is that like even last week while moving house, I was like, well, I agreed to a wrestling show, so I have to go. So I ended up bouncing on the Saturday to go do a show, and then even this weekend I had a show yesterday. So like, I haven't slowed down either. And which is weird, but I say that because I'm someone that also cannot slow down. Like, if I have time not doing something, it feels weird. I certainly feel like someone that, like, I feel like I'm not accomplishing something. Even though I'm doing something that's kind of useless, it feels like I'm not wasting my time. And like, I guess as someone who has such a weird hang up of like letting people down or not doing enough or something, like it's always kind of bizarre. It's bizarre for me to wrap my head around not doing something.
Yeah.
Cause like I have a show, another show next weekend on the Sunday, but I'm actively thinking about not doing it just cause I don't want to.
What time on the Sunday?
It's a middle of the day Sunday. It's not like a late one. It's only in Werribee, so I don't have to hike as far, which is nice. Mute in the chat says he's a true friend since he helped you move. Nah, he's just paying me back because I helped him move.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now we're even now, I think.
You had stairs.
Yeah, I had stairs. We were absolutely even, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, no kindness, Mute. It was as simple as, we are now square. Don't ask me to fucking do anything ever again. But one thing I can finally talk about, which is really, really exciting, is as an idea where I threw around a little while ago, well, it's finally happening. So this year at PAX 2024, PAX Australia, on Saturday at 4:30 p.m., Kookaburra Theatre, an idea that I came up, that I was incubated like 4 years ago, is happening. I had this idea to do essentially the Melbourne International Comedy Festival Great Debate, but pardon me, for video games at PAX. And I wanted to do a PlayStation versus Xbox, but I wanted to switch the creators, pardon me, or the panelists. So if you were an Xbox creator, you would be on Team PlayStation. If you're a PlayStation creator, you'd be on Team Xbox. And yeah, after a number of years, it's happening. So big thank you to my partner in crime on this one, Doom Cutie. You can find her on all the socials as that. She's a big Xbox lass is the word I wanted, but lass. I'm a big PlayStation lad. So it's like the idea was like we as the two hosts would be a nice sort of, you know, fun thing to bounce off of. And then on top of that, also, you know, we've got a great list of creators. Many of them that if you've been on this show or you've watched this show for a while, you will know them because it's just nepotism, baby. You know, except for Max. I didn't put Max in there because that felt too much like nepotism. So I opted out of including the Maximus.
Oh, I have a plan of how to partake in the festivities on Saturday.
The plan is essentially he's going to run bum rush the stage, talk about Bill Clinton, and just do a Game Awards. Essentially, or Kanye West, like, you know, look, PlayStation, Xbox, you know, you've done great, however, Nintendo, greatest platform of all time, you know what I mean, like, we're gonna get Sega, that'd be even funnier. But yeah, it should be a ton of fun. We've got a bunch of things planned. It should be very, very cool. And then additionally, I will also be involved in another panel. So a mutual, my name is Steve Willis. He put together this idea for a panel that was all about wrestling video games and discussing what our favorite one was, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as I am someone that's only been into wrestling since, 2018? So I've only played the games that have released since 2018. So it was, he very kindly asked me to be on the panel and I was like, yeah, dude, I can talk about how the GM mode's really, really good, but I really can't help you all that much. He goes, that's fine. Still want you involved. I'm like, beautiful. What can I do? At the time, I just got my, the lovely gift package from 2K around the WrestleMania pack thingy for the 2K 20, whatever year, 20, whatever the next one is. What's it called? It's on my wall over there. 24. So I had the ref shirt. So I will be Ref Betson. I will be rocking the ref shirt out in the crowd with a mic. And also, we have been kindly provided essentially a duffel bag of goodies from 2K Australia. So I'll be just whipping shirts and random assorted shit out in my ref attire. I know that one's 7:30 on the Saturday night. Can't tell you what room because I don't know. We stand Ref Betson in this house. Oh, love a good Ref Betson. It was something I considered. Oh, now, Big Shep, you'll get a kick out of this. Max, do you want to hear me eating a whole bunch of crap?
Always.
Beautiful. All right.
Literally or figuratively?
Figuratively. So, yeah. This weekend, I was doing a show. I was doing Alpha Pro Wrestling out of Thomastown. I was ring announcing, which was awesome. It was a match between the Physicals, I believe. No, the Physicals, no, it wasn't. It was, shit, who was it? I remember now, but the second team were the Let's Freaking Go Bros, the two luchador inspired wrestlers, Rey Picante and Valido. So they did their entrance. I did my ring announcing nonsense. Cool. Stepped out of the ring onto the apron, knowing that they were still on the outside. Turns out Valido, in their rapid speed, had got up into the ring and started to run the ropes, which is when they run across and bounce. So he's come fanging it. He's come out from the outside under the rope and just legged it. Fucking legged it at that rope. I, on the outside, thinking he was still outside, about to step down on the steps, I get hit with the full strength of those fucking ring ropes and I get sent. Like, I'm talking fucking hard yeeted. Like, boom, ropes hit me because the misnomer, they're not ropes, they're big fucking cables. And that just sent me and I just ate utter garbage. Any word on how much pre-workout Valido had? Enough to launch this guy about 2 meters. And thankfully, I kind of landed on my feet and knees and my already fucked up wrist. So that was not very fun. But it was very funny. And I recovered pretty well. And it's at least funny. Sorry. So my first ever wrestling bump, I guess, on a show by absolute accident. There you go. How did you like that, Max? Me getting a bit hurt and embarrassing in front of a crowd?
Look, it's always funny when you get whiplashed by cables.
Absolutely. But other than that, yeah, really not a whole much not much is going down this week. So let's get in the section. We talk about what we've been playing this week. Max, what have you been playing for the last 2 weeks, actually?
I have been playing nothing but Season 5 of Diablo 4. So this is the run-up season to the launch of Vessel of Hatred, their upcoming DLC expansion pack, where they're adding, I believe, a new act and a new character class. So with season five, they introduced 50 new unique and legendary aspects, which is cool. So kind of all the meta builds have changed. And the seasonal story is kind of leading up to what will be the Vessel of Hatred story. So they're reintroducing, the Council, which is from Diablo 2 in Act 3. It looks like that act is kind of being ported across and it's going to continue that. So they're the triumvirate for Mephisto, one of the Elder Lords. So he's coming back. It's going to do all that stuff. And the season's been really fun so far, kind of doing all the same things as we were doing, but the new seasonal activity is called the Infernal Hordes. So essentially it's kind of like a roguelite wave shooter, but not shooter, just a wave spawner. So essentially they stick you in a room and you use an item to kick off the encounter from tiers 1 to 8. The higher the tiers, the longer you have to survive before you can fight the council themselves and get your rewards. So it starts off easy. You need to survive 6 waves and you'll get 8 revives. And by the end of it, it's like survive 10 waves and you'll get 2 revives. And essentially after each wave, you'll get a choice of 3 options, which will have a boon and a debuff. So it'll be like We will spawn you extra enemies, but they become 25% stronger. You can do this activity and you'll gain more resource rewards for it, because you want to do the more resource rewards you have at the end, the more you can spend on opening the chest at the end for either gear, equipment, or crafting materials, or just straight gold. So that's been fun, and yeah, I've literally been playing that daily for 2 weeks. It's kind of taken up all my time. I've got two level 100 characters, a level 80 character, a level 70 character.
But you had most of these before. Did you start new characters?
No. Seasonal characters have to be started again at the start of each character, at the start of each season.
Wow. So bold strategy, Cotton.
I've got two max level characters and, yeah, a couple getting there. So the reason behind this is a couple of seasons ago, there are items called uber unique items, which have like a 1.5% drop chance against certain bosses.
Okay.
In the last few seasons, you've been able to craft them. If you didn't get a drop that you liked, you dismantle it, you get a crafting piece, and you need four of those to craft a new one. So this season they introduced, I think it was last season as well, but you get one spark, which is you need four sparks to craft a what they're calling now mythic uniques. So you get one for beating Lilith at whatever point through the season. You get one for beating your first tormented boss, and you get one for finishing the season like a quest board. And the two for the bosses are account wide, not character based.
Mm-hmm.
But the seasonal reward is character-based, so I've made a bunch of characters to finish the season board because I've been having obscene luck. I've done over 80 uber bosses, and I've had one drop.
Oof.
So when you fight the tormented versions of them, it's a 7.5% chance for an item for the unique to drop. At 80 clears, I should have more than one.
You would think so, right? You would hope so.
Statistically speaking, I should have more than one.
Well, that's on the presumption that the frequency at which you do, but it doesn't change. It's still 7.5% every time you do it. So it's literally a roll of the dice. But you would think in the lore of stats, you would hope to, but it is also so painfully possible that you would not get
one. Yeah, so I've had one drop. So I dismantled it because it was a piece of shit one.
So it wasn't even good. Oh, that's so much worse.
Crafted the one that I wanted. Just before we started recording, I was playing it, and my mate who I've been playing with, he's like, "Oh, I had three drop today." It's like, you motherfucker.
And they're not like, you can't mail them. Oh, you can't send them.
No, you can trade them now. They've added the ability to trade them. But he dismantled them because he hasn't beaten the bosses, nor has he finished the seasonal rewards. He's just like, these aren't the ones that I need for my build. Deleted them all and crafted the one that he needed. I'm like, okay. It's a bold strategy. You got rid of two really good ones, but whatever. It's fine. So yeah, that's literally all I've been playing. I don't think I've really touched anything else. I played a little bit of Gloomhaven, the PC version of Gloomhaven.
I did, after playing it once before, I did contemplate buying it on the PC because I would love to, but I don't have the brain power to do the board game.
I got it back when it was a free game on Epic.
Oh, nice.
I also own it on Steam, though. But, yeah, it's good. It plays almost exactly the same, but with, like, you don't need 2 hours to set it up and pack it up.
That's the key reason. Like, I guess now in this house, we do have... so where I am, I'm in like this little like entryway, which is a little room, and there's a landing up above me that we've put a table there. The idea of being, you know, like a gaming table, like a jigsaw, trading card, like whatever, some sort of physical game. So like we could have a Gloomhaven go up there. So if you ever do want to play it again physically, and you have no one to play it with, like I'm sure I'll play it, and I'm sure Phoebe, like my partner, will want to play it. And we can just set it up here and then never have to pack it down. So like...
When are we playing Resident Evil?
The second we clear that table, I'll put it down. Let's go.
The second we clear that table.
Well, it's the same because I am still very tempted to buy that Metal Gear Solid board game that we played. I played at PAX a number of years ago that got cancelled but then revived. But yeah. So there you go.
Funny, I'm gonna take that segue. I'm so excited for PAX this year.
Oh yeah,
they've been advertising like it's their biggest tabletop area in like ever. One of my friends.
I like how you use that as the segue, not the whole conversation that was just solely about PAX.
I was about you and PAX. Because I've got one of my friends is coming on the Friday. He's my tabletop buddy. He's who I play Gloomhaven with, Tainted Grail, all that fun stuff. So he's like, oh, I think I'm going to go. I'm like, oh, you should probably get tickets soon. I'm pretty sure like they're selling out pretty fun quick. And he's like, oh, when are you going? I'm like, I've got 3 days. He's like, oh, okay, I'll come on the Friday. He's like, what time are you getting there? I'm like, I don't know, 9-ish. And he's like, that's a bit late to line up, isn't it? I'm like, nah, it'll be fine.
I love how you're at the point now is because, you know, you've done this a number of times. You're like, I know the privileges of being the media. Like, let's go.
He's like, how are you going to get it? How are you going to, like, I'm like, I don't have to line up. I got media accreditation this year. I don't have to line up. I get to go in early. Suck a big one. Call me when you get in and we'll go hang out at the tabletop section, because for the last couple of days, PAX have been posting, they're like, here's some of the stuff.
So
all of it's ticking my boxes. Like, so, apparently Bandai, just like all of our IPs are just trading cards. I'm just like, oh, One Piece, Dragon Ball Z, Sandland, Digimon. I'm just like, yes, just give me all of the things.
So what has me most excited about all of this in terms of, A, the tabletop stuff's exciting. I'm sure Atomic Games will be there. Atomic Mass Games, I should say, so I can get more either Marvel Crisis Protocol minis or Star Wars Shatterpoint minis that I won't paint because I don't have a table at the moment, so they're all just in a pile over there. So that'll have me excited. But I knew about what they're planning for D&D. Pardon me. I knew about the Lakana setup. I knew about the Magic setup. I knew like all the trading stuff. Like I've known for about a month.
Because Magic's got me moist.
Oh, dude! Like, it's not my news to share, but hence why I never said anything or I didn't tell you. But yeah. It's like I know what they're building and what the plan is, and it makes me, I want to go fuck with Magic, let me tell you. Like, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Especially Lorcana. Like, I want to go fuck with Lorcana, like, real bad. Same. Because I've been wanting a trading card game for a while. Like, just as, and I think we talked about in the past, like, there was the WWE Panini one, which caught my interest, but, like, it's super expensive, and then it's not a battling game, it's just collectible. It's like baseball cards. Lakana's cool, but like I don't like all Disney properties. I like some. Yeah. And Magic seems really cool, but like I have to find one that I care about. Transformers looked pretty cool. Fallout looked really cool. What was the other one? Doctor Who looked really cool, but like I don't love those properties enough solely just to get them. Lord of the Rings was also looked really sweet too. I know that tickled your fancy real hard.
Lord of the Rings was one that nearly got me in. Yeah. And then I think the last, what was it? Modern Horizons 3 bought back some theme decks that I really liked the look of. The Assassin's Creed stuff looked pretty cool.
Jurassic Park would be interesting because I like dinos, so like that might be the one. I'm down for collecting dinos because that like hits like, you know, because somehow no one like decided to point this out, like in true like autistic stereotype fashion, I was such a fucking dino kid. Like I've got like an abundance of I have so much dinosaur shit that I found when I was moving. So like, I don't know why, like no one picked that up, but like for that reason is why I'm like, I want to fuck with this Jurassic Park Magic set. Let's go. Cause like, I know in the world of Jurassic World, like they've expanded the dinosaur collective to be greater than what we've seen on screen. So especially when you play like Jurassic World Evolution or whatever on the PlayStation, you know, where it's the theme park simulator, and they're like, oh, these are order Pokemans, not Pokemans, dinosaurs, fucking. So I did.
Mate, that's what they need though. The Nintendo get on that and do a fucking Pokemon theme park.
Oh, that's dangerous. I like that.
2-point Pokemon.
Like you make your. Like you make your own like Safari Zone. There it is, Pokemon Safari Zone, and you make your that is an idea. That idea would make tens of dollars, hundreds of dollars even. Damn.
The other big thing I think that I'm looking forward to, even though like I know that I'm gonna have no skill whatsoever, but there's a paint and keep for D&D. And then they're like, and you can take that mini, and we're going to have a bunch of fucking seasoned DMs running one shots all weekend. And I'm just like, your boy's going to be playing D&D all weekend.
Like we'll get all our like media shit out of the way and do all the play. Like, cause PlayStation aren't going to be there. I know for a fact. Yeah. So that sucks from us from a limiting what we can do perspective. But it does free us up to do a bunch of other things, which is exciting.
So I've had a few people go, oh, can you buy me one of those mystery board game boxes? Because I don't want to go to PAX, but I want one of those. So you'll see me. So I think I'm going to try and book parking very soon to park at the convention.
Yeah, it's just you with like one of what are those things that you see when they're like a rickshaw just full of mystery box fucking things.
Yeah, because I'm going to have a ton of fucking board game mystery boxes to travel with.
Yeah. So the challenge for me is that I'm going to have to be very conscious because PAX happens, and then because I get paid monthly, I get paid 3 days after PAX. So I will be in my... If I breathe too hard, I will be poor time of the pay month. So I'm going to have to adjust accordingly or maybe dip into the savings and then refill the savings when the pay gets back. Because like there's always something that piques my interest at PAX. Like the mystery boxes are always fun and garbage, but the last couple of years they've had a God of War one, and I'm like, I'm sure I have most of the shit in there, but I want to buy it anyway. And I was very tempted last year, but when I finally went, you know what, I'm gonna go do it, they were sold out. So I was like, you know, I'll take that as a lesson. But I do also want a box of assorted God of War plastic garbage. Because the board game one tends to actually be okay from memory.
Yeah, so I think there's three versions. There's like $100, $150, and $200, and they're valued at like $200,
$250,
$300. Yeah. So like, they're worth it. But it depends on what you get, because I think a few of them are like party style games. Mm. And stuff like that. You're not necessarily going to get those big honking boys. Like, you know, yeah. So it depends on.
Yeah, you're not getting dropped to Frosthaven or like the Bloodborne, the board game in this thing.
No. Well, I mean, Bloodborne's only $100. You could, in theory, get that. But it depends on, like, you have to be. I guess you have to be like an actual board game player.
To care enough to get a mystery one.
Otherwise, you're going to get something that you just like, I have no interest in this, where you have to be open-minded enough to be like, I will play whatever's in this box.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't be like a casual, like, I'll play Coup and one other party game and that's it. Because then it's not value for you.
Or you're like, oh, I like Cards Against Humanity. It's like, well, then don't buy this because you're not going to get that.
Yeah.
Anything else you've been playing?
No, it's just that. I mean, I dabbled in, like, I've played a few rounds of Modern Warfare, like DMZ. I've played a few rounds of the new season of Fortnite because fucking Doctor Doom's back. It's like another Marvel season, so they're gonna make all the monies. But it's just been Diablo.
Yeah. Speaking of like Marvel nonsense, my son's our good friend Craig, rudely got my son interested in Marvel Snap.
Marvel Snap's cool.
Oh, it's great. But my son loves fucking trading cards, and it's like right part of his brain. And I'm like, oh no.
But at least Marvel Snap is one of those games that you can play completely free to play and not be at a disadvantage.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I do, I'm not mad about it in that sense. I'm just like, oh man. But he, like, to his credit, is, you know, at the moment, like, he is just balls deep in God of War, which makes me so proud, by the way. So he completed God of War Ragnarok over a week and a bit. So that was I was really happy. And then he came here and played it some more. Because he did then did the new game plus here, because he did it at home, which is very cool. But in terms of myself, there is a game that I've had for a little while now, and I wasn't really able to talk about it, but now I can. So big thank you to the team over at Devolver. I have been messing about with a preview build of The Plucky Squire. Now, for those of you that may remember, The Plucky Squire was a game that we originally saw in a PlayStation Showcase a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, maybe a bit longer. But the premise was you're essentially playing in a children's book. And within the preview build, it's about 2 hours. It's the first couple of chapters. I won't go too deep into like the little bit later, but I will touch upon the beginnings of it. So you may remember from the trailers, you play the Plucky Squire, which is a character by the name of Pip. So he goes out on adventures where he's the big villain is a wizard named Hum Grump or something like that. So he's the big bad, and he likes, you know, he's also a writer, so he goes out on these adventures, and he comes back and writes The Plucky Squire within the world of The Plucky Squire. You are at the beginning of the game, you are in your house, you walk out, and you hear this sick, sick dance beat, and it turns out it's your mentor, the wizard, his name's Moonbeam, and he's like a DJ, but also a wizard, and the first mission they send you on is to go and get some beeswax so you can press more records. So from there, just establishing that before I head into the next part, is the sound design in this game and the musical choice is insane. Like, the music that they give Moonbeam actually fucks. In the same way that I would listen to the Astro Bot soundtrack easily, or let's say the Persona 5 soundtrack easily, I could listen to the Plucky Squire soundtrack every day, and I wouldn't be mad about it, because the gameplay music is tight, the individual music is tight, because each of the characters have their own like stylistic choice, and that's rad. So from there, you go on this mission, and then you meet your two companions, your two friends, which are Violet, and who's just a girl that you've been friends with forever, and a mountain troll by the name of Thrash. And because he's, you know, Thrash, like, you know, good, like, guitar riffs play when he's around, which is great. And you go off on the adventure to essentially save their world. The beauty in this game is in its overall art design. So if you've seen the trailers, everything is done within the pages of a book. That includes the level, the cutscenes, everything is done within a book, and it is delivered with a British voice actor who gives it an almost like an old BBC cartoon sort of feel. I wouldn't say, like, I kind of want to say like Stephen Fry, but it's certainly not Stephen Fry, because everyone knows Stephen Fry's voice. But it's that same concept. Like, it's sometimes also weirdly word. Pardon?
Like a merchant?
No. I mean, in terms of, like, it's very wordy, and, like, it's in a fun way. And obviously the British accent gives it this real interesting feel. And the design of the characters of the Plucky Squire and the world, like, it feels like you're watching a cartoon, or you're reading a kid's picture book. And all the... Yeah, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And the way it chooses to manipulate that space by having, there's a part where you have to descend down a cliff, and the book pivots into a into a vertical stance as you climb down it, and then it returns to vertical. its use of, like, when you travel forward in the world, obviously you get a new page, but if you return, rather than like getting a new page, it'll go back a couple pages to what that, so it kind of like, it keeps a memory of all the pages prior. It's a little detail, but I love it that it kind of doesn't diminish the idea of the storybook. Like, if you do return to a previous place, it's just the page that you were at before. The combat is really simple. It's all so you, as of yet, or at least in the demo, you can't play as anybody else but Pip. And you have your little, like, it's a sword, but looks like the top of an ink pen, or a quill, I should say. So that's your little sword. You can throw it, you can stab, you can dodge, you can dip, duck, dive, dodge, and whatever. And that's really cool. But one of the things that's really interesting about this game, and this is established in the trailers, is that you can leave the book. Like, at some point, you become self-aware enough to know that you are in a picture book. So then you're able to leave the book. So then you, so the little creatures or Ed Humpgrump find a way to manipulate this, the realms of the world and the book. So you're in this room, I think it's Sam's room, whole thing. So you get to go out, go explore this 3D world, which is real, like, it's really, really pretty and really polished 3D space, to then jump back into the 2D space, which is also as beautiful. So, like, to the credit to the team, it is just remarkable front to back. And it's got such a charm. It's got such a beauty. It plays so well. So the preview build that we have, that I have, sorry, is on PC. I have been playing it with a controller, just because that seemed more intuitive to me, especially in that, because it's not a first-person sort of thing, which requires a lot of mouse movement. I just found it easier to use the controller. They're a great, with it being a picture book, there's a great use of the written word as well as the spoken word. So there are some puzzles that are resolved by the use of words. So, you know, as you walk into an area, it'll be like the blank, you know, whatever, like the blank gate blank. And then you find the words like the rusty gate opens, and then you place them down in the world and actions happen. So
Like scribble nods?
Kind of like scribble nods, except you can't pick the words. The words are within the world. So scribble nods was all about, you had to, you know, use your vocabulary and your you know, understanding of words to go, cool, I want to make this, where this is like, okay, if you start searching within the world, you'll find, the word gate, or you'll find open, or, you know, and it allows you to manipulate the terrain and the level in such a way that, an example, in the demo is, you're trying to get this big cat, and it looks like our cat Charlie, which is hysterical. You need to get food from it from one side of the page to the other, but there's a forest in the way. But then using the words, you can change the word forest to ruin, and then when you do that, it allows you to move it through, change it back to forest, move it for the next bit, back to ruin, move it for the next bit, back to forest, blah, 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 blah. So like, that's a great way to manipulate the world, or if you're trying to traverse across this gap, you're like, you know, it's a lily pad, and you know, in the world you can find ginormous or like small, and you're like, well, I'm gonna go ginormous. Suddenly that you can traverse over this hit of water with this use of this lily pad. But what makes this even better, Max, is that it was announced this week that the Plucky Squire will be available at launch as part of PS Plus. So honestly, none of you have an excuse to not play this game, because it is bloody awesome. It is very similar to that of like Dredge or Cult of the Lamb. Like, this is going to be the standout indie of this year, unquestionably. And I want to play more of it. Like, I've literally ran the demo twice because I just wanted more of it. I wanted to see if I could fuck with the world a bit more. I wanted to see if there's any little things that I could find that I didn't the first time. But it's relatively linear in that sense, which is fine because it is a book. But I do really, really love it. And from what I've said, Max, is it pique your interest at all?
Yeah, I've been following it for a while. I'm keen to. It's exciting that it's launching on PlayStation Extra, not PlayStation Plus.
What is part of PlayStation Plus, but PlayStation Plus Extra specifically?
Yeah. So, but you have to have that extra tier. It's not just for the essentials.
Yeah, mine renewed on me this week, and I was not ready for it. So that thanks.
To, what was it? $189.
Yeah, I got reamed. It was rad.
I'm keen. And obviously, because it launches next month with PlayStation Extra, it's a no-brainer to play it.
Yeah, yeah. It's so goddamn good. I absolutely loved it. But other than that, not really a whole much because I've said I've been moving house. So I played a little bit of Elder Scrolls Online. I jumped a little bit into Two Point Hospital and Two Point Campus because it was just an easy game that I could play for like 5 minutes. But yeah, overall, pretty chill week from the gaming space. So instead, let's get into the section where we call inform the players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Speaking of PS Plus, Max, monthly games.
Monthly games are set to arrive like in 2 days, I think. So we're going to get this month on Extra, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, PS4, PS5.
That's a huge one, obviously, because my assumption on the PS5 version, I think it comes with the DLC as well, which I think Blood and Wine is like one of the most well-regarded DLCs to ever be released.
It was the highest Metacritic scored DLC until Shadow of the Erdtree came in and shat in its wine.
Ugh, nerds.
Wild Hearts PS5.
Now
can't believe it's not Monster Hunter. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had access to that. I didn't play it because I'm a big Monster Hunter guy, but I know you did.
Yeah, I played it. So the big difference was it had like Fortnite-esque build mechanics.
Oh, that's
so
right,
you could like build towers to jump up and like hit weak spots on creatures and stuff. It was really cool. Cult of the Lamb, PS5.
Absolute must play. That game is beautiful. And they've released a DLC this week as well. It's about 15 bucks. Was that?
For couch co-op.
Yeah, which makes it even better. Like, I adored the game the first time I played it. I still think it's one of the most charming experiences of it. It's so good. So good. Like, so much so that I contemplated getting a tattoo of you know, the opening screen where it's like, because it looks so fucking sweet. And I was like, oh, I would love to get that as a tattoo. But yeah, no, an absolute must play. And great shout out to Massive Monster, Australian team.
Ride 5, PS5.
Okay. I love how we just like wax lyrical about the three games before this. I'm like, Ride 5. Okay. It's the motorbike one, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Watch Dogs 2.
Well, Watch Dogs 2 was actually really fun. Like, set in San Francisco, I believe. So it really did really big departure from Watch Dogs 1. Improved it in almost all the ways. Yeah, not a bad freebie. Oh, these ones are all for you, man.
Next up, we have a bunch of Sword Art Online games. So we have Last Recollection, Alicization, Lycoris, Fatal Bullet, and Hollow Realization. All PS4 games except for the first one. Comes on PS5 as well.
Have you ever played the Sword Art Onlines?
I have played the first two, which was Hollow Realization and Fatal Bullet. They weren't great.
Well, because I know there is a lot of love for Sword Art Online.
So the issue is, I'm a big fan of the anime, and it's one of those isekai animes where it's the main protagonist gets ripped out of the real world and thrown into a fantastical world. So the story of this is they have perfected full dive technology, which is essentially VR on steroids. So you wear a nerve, what they refer to as a nerve gear helmet, and it transports you into the game. And the big hook is that the person who created the nerve gear also creates an MMO, which is if you die in the MMO, we kill you in real life.
Oof, brutal.
There's something in the... Yeah, so it's a cool principle, and I just don't think it translates well. Well, in the first two games, I didn't find that it translated well into the game format they had.
Could it be like in a very like Atlas Persona way, in that the first couple were rough, but they set up something really good? Well,
that's what I'm hoping for, and I will check these out because, you know, why not? They're there.
Because in the chat, Mute one of our beautiful regular viewers and listeners says, not me. Me and a bunch of guys had bad experience with SOA. Now, initially, because to me, SOA isn't Sword Art Online. It's Sons of Anarchy. And I got real confused for a moment. And then I remembered what we were talking about. I'm like, okay, no, we're okay.
And the last game on the extras tier is Naruto to Boruto Shinobi Strike, which I think is a fucking soccer game or some form of team-based sports ninja game.
Rad. That is not a betting game.
For premium or deluxe, you get Vacation Sim on PSVR2.
Good one. Vacation Simulator is really, really sweet. And the difference between that and Job Simulator was the Job Simulator was really locked. You were in like a meter by meter box, and there's only so much you could do. Where this, they expanded it, not quite open world, but you can move around an area, and there's a lot of sort of interactive environmental puzzles because of that. So they really took what Job Sim was good at and made it even better again. So big win.
Next up, we have Time Splitters 2 and Time Splitters Future Perfect.
I like how you add an extra E in the Time Splitters 2.
Yeah, well, to be fair, also in Time Splitters 2, it's the only one that doesn't have a capital S for splitters.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. And lastly, there's another Sword Art Online game that's on premium tier by itself.
Yeah. See, this is interesting because, like, Time Splitters, it's a game I've never played, but I've seen that fucking cover of Time Splitters 2 everywhere. Like, if it's the guy like pew, and like the big like pew, and then like doing shooting. Correct. By the way, but never played it. Like, I must have seen it like 1,000 cash converters. I'm pretty sure I've seen it 1,000 video rental stores. I'm sure I've seen it. I've seen it everywhere, but I've never played it. You ever played Time Splitters? Heard they're alright.
I didn't own a PS2.
Oh, what? Oh, okay. Because I was having a discussion with someone the other day, I fucking loved the 64. I'm like, I never had one. So, like, I don't have those memories of GoldenEye, of Mario Kart, of anything like that, because I just didn't have one.
Well, see, I didn't own one, but my friend had one, so I used to go there all the time.
Like, my neighbors across, like, why am I, fuck it, focus on my face, you bumhole. Come on, there you go. Whatever, it'll fix itself eventually. So, like, there were games that I remember playing. Like, I really enjoyed the Star Wars Shadows of the Empire. I had a lot of fun with that, especially like the Hoth levels with my mates across the road.
Conker's Bad Fur.
Conker's was fun. I tried to like do a lot of 64 emulation back in the day, but then it doesn't work because you need the honking weird controller.
You need the dumb controller to play the dumb game.
Yeah, because Donkey Kong 64. Yeah, because you can't replicate it properly without the thumbstick and all the bullshit buttons. Dumb. Speaking of dumb, let's talk about. Fuck, that was mean. Let's talk about Gamescom. So Jeff, who's back again. Writes Max. Gamescom Opening Night Live kicks off this week and will feature new announcements. The organizer and host has felt the need to make this clear after listing off a bunch of known games that are set to put in an appearance during the presentation. During the presentation. Naturally, these unannounced titles will remain shrouded in mystery until the show, unless some kind of catastrophic leak occurs beforehand, which is highly possible. So far, Jeff's noted that the likes of Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Monster Hunter Wilds, Marvel Rivals, Dune Awakening, that's the MMO, yeah?
Maybe.
I think I could probably get Phoebe into that one. She fucking loves Dune. Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, which I assume is coming to PlayStation. And Civilization 7 will be present.
I'm so keen for Civ 7.
Oh, man. Okay, so... I'll finish the sentence. We also know that Metaphor, ReFantazio, Phantom Blade Zero, and Crimson Desert will be there, at least in demo form. So one of the things, when I went to the Borderlands premiere party, it wasn't actually for the movie, because they weren't allowed to showcase the movie, because it was being premiered in LA at the same time. Therefore, they couldn't technically premiere it in Melbourne before then. I was like, all right, cool. But I ended up chatting with the 2K rep there, and yeah, she was just like, oh man, Gamescom, get ready, have fun. And we'll talk about Civ, so I think there's something fun coming.
I'm so keen for. I'm a huge fan of Civilization games. I'm so keen for Civ 7.
Excited times. But let's face it, quote, new game announcements, end quote, as per Jeff's Twitter post on the subject, could mean anything. Typically, Gamescom isn't the place for gigantic reveals. It has always been more of an update show because of its proximity to events that take place earlier in the summer. Oh, and that's in the summer and then the Northern Hemisphere. So with this being the first one post that E3 window, this is essentially them going, hey, these are things that we you get reveal dates, you get et cetera, et cetera. But it's one of those things. Now, for myself, as I distance myself a lot from these events, mostly because of my focus interest, which is PlayStation, and they tend to not have big attendances or any appearances in these events. So I'm like, I'll wait and see. Like, I couldn't tell you or predict what these shows would have because I'm just weirdly out of the loop in that sense. But what about yourself? You have a bit more of your finger to your, you know, on the pulse of the greater.
It starts Tuesday night our time. I think it's like 11 p.m.
Oh, that's not bad.
So it's not too bad. I like watching these things. I do like catching up and seeing what's coming, even like regardless of whether or not it's coming to our platform of choice. Now that I've got a nice PC, I kind of am capable of playing things on that now.
I'm going to fuck with Civ on this PC because I think it's going to run like bombs on PlayStations, but
my variety is a little bit bigger now. So I do like to check it out because I haven't quite got that cynicism that you've got. I'm still fresh. So part of me still part of me still gets a little bit excited by these things, even if it's fine.
Just to clarify, the cynicism is absolutely correct, but it's more about I go in relatively neutral. I don't go in expecting to be disappointed. I just go in going, let's take it as it is. Probably more pragmatic, if anything.
Be fair, I also never watch these things live. I'll be like, I'll find an article that's like, this is what.
Or you could listen to this live actually, because it's your work time.
Mm. So I generally, check it out the next day and hit those sites that are like, this is what was announced, and then I pick and choose what sounds interesting to me from either teams that I know and love or publishers that I know and love. Got a big rumor this week, Ryan.
Ooh!
So the latest Doing the Rounds online starts with Shinobi 602, a notable source currently working at Keyword Studios. Apparently, Xbox will reveal the next of its first-party titles going multi-platform during opening night live show. Responding to users over on Gaming Forum Reset Era, Shinobi has heavily suggested we'll learn about the next game heading to PlayStation next week during Gamescom's main showcase. One person wondered when we'd see the next round of ported games, to which he replied, quote, what are you doing next week?
Good sass.
He followed this up with a responsible question on whether we'd see multiple games confirmed for other platforms, quote, I don't know about multiple, but a big one at least, Shinobi teased. To complicate matters, however, Windows Central's Jez Corden has weighed in on the rumors, writing that his sources indicate that Forza Horizon 5 will not be announced for PlayStation 5 next week. He can't confirm whether Xbox will announce a PS5 port at Gamescom opening night live, but does note that Shinobi is very reliable and it's likely, quote, a matter of time before he's proven correct.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, Shinobi is most definitely someone that's like, they're right most of the time. Like, if they're off, they're a little bit off, but like most of the time they're good.
Mm.
So I look at this and I'm thinking, what could it be? I did say, I think part of the...
I think the two front runners are Forza and Starfield.
The other one I heard was Killer Instinct. That'd be all right.
I mean, Killer Instinct's been out for so long. I think that it's probably past its time.
It's one thing. Let's think about it, right? Like, let's think about what this could be. So right now, the games that we have available from Xbox on our PlayStations are Pentiment, Grounded, Sea of Thieves, and Hi-Fi Rush. Now, Hi-Fi Rush did well. Pentiment did fine. Sea of Thieves is fucking smashing it. I think Grounded did okay as well. So once again, we're going backwards. Like, I don't see them releasing any game. Like, Starfield would be good, but I feel it's too soon. And we know that the DLC is right around the corner. So unless they release some sort of like collector's big honking edition, but even then, that would be really dismissive to those that have already have it. You know, and that right now the Xbox need that goodwill.
It's one of those things that, like, you would think they, because it was partially in development before Xbox took over and said, so like it's got to be, it would have a pretty, you would imagine it would have a pretty quick-ish turnaround if it was already partially developed to be on a PlayStation system before Xbox came in and, exclusive.
Absolutely true. But once again, like, in order to not burn the bridges or relationship they have with their fan base already, like one of the biggest marketing pushes behind Starfield from memory was that it was an Xbox exclusive. So it would diminish all of that very, very quickly. Now,
you classify Killer Instinct as a big Xbox title, though?
No, but it's an easy one, right? It's never been on there before. Like, I think if they were to do a bundle again, like they did with, you know, Pentiment, Grounded, Sea of Thieves, Hi-Fi Rush, it would fit within that bundle. Forza Horizon is a good call because with it being a more arcade-based racing game, it's not going to clash with Gran Turismo, so I don't see them having an issue bringing that across, right? Like, there's enough overlap, but enough separation that it's not going to have a clash. I think the Halo Master Chief Collection would be awesome, but it's not happening yet. With the announcement of the new Gears of War game being a prequel, it'd be awesome if they did Gears, but you would then have to go with Gears 1, or would they do it as some sort of collection where you get, you know, 1, 2, 3, Judgment, all in like one bundaroo. Like, that would be sick, because I would totally play the fuck out of Gears of War.
Like a Gears of War anthology?
Yeah, exactly. Does that exist?
No.
But that would be dope, yes.
The Doom anthology exists. That came out like 2 days ago.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. But yeah, if they were to make like a Gears of War anthology, like that would be the one, right? But once again, very similar to Gears and Halo, I think will be the two last vestiges of that exclusivity run, right? Like, once those two come across, that is done. Like, that's when they're Microsoft's last two things in their holster. So as long as it's not like fucking Crackdown or Recore or anything like
Fable
that.
Fable and Fable 2.
Oh, shit. If it's Fable, I'll... See, this is the interesting thing.
With Fable right around... With
yeah, Playground Games, Playground Games,
Fable coming right around the... Well,
see, because this is the other thing as well. Like, could it be Indiana Jones? It could be, but the thing would be is like... there's so many older games that they can pull from, it makes no sense for them to then go, Indiana Jones is the next one that's coming across, or, you know, like, it just doesn't feel right.
Well, I would argue if they're using the term coming across, Indiana Jones is not coming across because it was never across to begin with.
Yeah, so that would be the interesting thought process. Like, obviously, you were an Xbox gamer when I have never been. What would you look at as something that would move the needle, like, in a big way, and something's in a small way?
I don't know. So I think you're partially right in the whole that Gears of War and Halo would be the last two to come across if they were to ever come across. I could see them doing a smaller title like Fable or like Crackdown, unfortunately.
God, I hope not.
They could do... game that they... Quantum Break?
Oh! Yeah, Quantum Break. That was... Quantic Dream.
Sean Ashmore.
Yep, that's the one. That would be cool.
Yep. That could come across.
What about Hellblade? Hellblade 2.
Oh yeah.
They could Once again, them. Close proximity though, so it doesn't tick all the boxes for me. But
it could just be the first one.
Well, the first one's already available on PlayStation. It's been available forever because it launched on there as well. But the difference here is, That game really did not move the numbers that they wanted when it launched. So this would be a great way for them to close that gap. Sorry?
We're getting Flight Sim?
Flight Sim is actually a really fucking good idea. Like,
we're getting Psychonauts?
Psychonauts is already, 1 and 2 were already available.
Okay. Are we getting Sunset Overdrive? They're giving Insomniac their game back?
Insomniac, they got the rights. I think they got the publishing rights, though. So that would be an option.
We're getting Ori?
Oh, dude. If they got Ori, that would blow some fucking heads off. That would be amazing.
There's a few that could.
There's good potential. The only catch with Ori, they're not a first party exclusive. It's a second party exclusive because it is. Is it Moon Studios? Like, they're not, as far as I can remember, they're not owned by Microsoft. So the presumption is that these games would have to be the first party exclusives.
Yeah. I don't know.
Fable would be a ripper, though.
Fable would be good. Flight Sim would be good.
Flight Sim is a good one, too. Speaking of Hi-Fi Rush, though. Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn. We'd get fucking Halo Wars before we...
Because that's a good question, right? Like, do they go in release order or chronological order for all the Halo titles? Because isn't Reach technically first, or ODST, one of them is first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us Jet Set Radio Future.
All right. As I mentioned, let's talk Tango Gameworks. So following Microsoft's high-profile, quote-unquote, emotional, end quote, shuttering of Hi-Fi Rush developer Tango Gameworks, it seemed like that would be the end of the series and seemingly the end of the story. Like a bolt out of the blue, previously this week, it was announced that Krafton, the Korean publisher behind PUBG, has acquired the IP and the studio, which is based in Japan. What's more, it has plans to expand this franchise. In the press release, Krafton revealed that it had acquired Tango Gameworks, founded in 2010. It is perhaps best known for its survival horror titles such as The Evil Within, The Evil Within 2, and Ghostwire Tokyo. The publisher says that it will work with Xbox and ZeniMax to ensure a smooth transition, that there will be no impact on Tango's existing game catalog, which will remain available as before, and that the support will allow the team to explore future projects. Now, I enjoyed Hi-Fi Rush. I didn't play a lot of it, I'm going to be completely honest, because it was with its rhythm-based nonsense. I was like, okay, I need to be in the right Ritalin headspace to deal with this, and I just admittedly haven't gone back to it. But from a design choice, from the way it plays, I did really, really enjoy it, and I would like to go back. But the titles like Evil Within and Evil Within 2, they're fun. Ghostwire Tokyo wasn't quite there for me, but from memory, the gentleman that was the key influence in Evil Within and Evil Within 2 is no longer with Tango. I remember his name, but from memory, he's not involved in the studio anymore. So it's interesting.
I didn't mind Ghostwire.
Yeah, yeah. But for you, your kick out of it was you've been to Tokyo.
Yeah, my kick was like, I fucking walked on that street.
Yeah. But I was like, I don't get it. And then I'm doing a bunch of like, you know, ninjutsu hand signs. I feel like I'm doing some sort of, you know, Tokyo gang war. I'm like, I didn't realize Tokyo had like Crips and Bloods, but that's cool. It just didn't land for me for that reason. And plus, it also ran like ass for some reason for me. Like, I had stuttering and screen tearing like crazy. And even with the variable refresh rates and all that stuff, it just... But, yeah, that's a bit of a bummer, but yeah. Tango not dead is my note on that one.
Quick bits. It's just a bunch of release dates in the quick bits. I'm not gonna lie, I'm just foreshadowing this.
It's just announcements and dates.
Until Dawn is coming 4th of October. I'm so keen to replay.
Dude,
that game.
I think
it's going to be the next game that I recommend to my parents to play together.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I think it's not like hardcore gameplay, but it's like still a cool thing.
It was interesting. Like, I think so I'm in the same boat. I think it'd be a great game for Phoebe and I to play. But like, I did remember going like, is this really needed? But then they released the trailer that was like, here's the original and here's the new one. I'm like, I didn't realize
the piece of crap that was originally, and yeah. He's the masterpiece.
And I was like, I don't remember it looking like that much asshole. Okay, yeah. I'm like, I was thinking, like, do I replay the original heading into the? And I'm like, no, fuck no, fuck no. Like, I'm holding out, and I'm playing the immaculate looking remake.
Yeah,
it's a shame that fucking Supermassive aren't involved in it. But then again, as much as I enjoyed like the Quarry and the anthology of pictures, whatever, like they were kind of shit house. So like in their the idea was really cool.
To be fair, only some of them were
shit. Only some of the quarry was poo.
That Ashley Tisdale one was fucking atrocious.
Yeah, that was poo. Little Hope, though, that was like the real like Silent Hill feeling one. That one fucked. That was so good.
Yeah, Two Point Museum has been announced for PlayStation 5.
Yes. Yes. Like, I love 2 Point Hospital. I love 2 Point Campus. 2 Point Museum... fuck yes. If I get to make cool little different exhibits, like here's my, you know, dinosaur exhibit. Here's my space exhibit. Here's my ancient history exhibit. And if it like with the trailer, like it clearly looks to be matching the same bullshit weird tone that like 2 Point Hospital and 2 Point Campus delivered. So I'm like, give me that, all of it. Yes, please. Thank you.
As we announced earlier, the Plucky Squire to a launch day one on PlayStation Extra.
Spoilers.
Dragon Age at the Veil Guard coming 31st of October after they accidentally leaked their trailer before the reveal.
There is so much hanging on this game that it's kind of scary.
Mm. Trombone Champ coming to PSVR 2 later this year.
That, what? Is this some sort of like Guitar Hero but for a trombone? Well, something going to play that.
Yeah, Arizona Sunshine coming to PSVR 2 this October.
Interesting, actually. So, like, since we put...
Now that we can play PSVR 2 on our PC, there's just fucking games coming out for it on PlayStation.
Absolutely. And I thinking about this, because Arizona Sunshine is regarded as one of, like, the standouts of PlayStation VR. And I'm not going to plug in my PSVR 1 to play the first one. So I'm so glad this is coming across. Because the other day... when my son pulled out the PSVR 2, he wanted to play it. I was like, what games are out now? Like, it's been a little while, poking around, saw Arizona Sunshine. I was like, oh, shit, did the first one got a port? Nah. So, have you played it yet since you borrowed it?
No.
Of course you didn't.
A Lord of the Rings discs are still sitting inside it too.
Oh, good on you.
Much as like you said. Yeah, I just have not been in the mood to... I've been playing Diablo. Huh.
Thankfully, the new house, much better space of VR. I'm very excited for that. Even down here, like once again, if we get into the PC VR, like I have intentionally rebuilt this studio in such a way that there's not a bunch of nonsense everywhere, so I can get some room scale. I can play Alex. I can play Half-Life Alex. I can have a good VR time.
Behemoth coming to PSVR 2 November 14th this year.
That was in the last showcase, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hunt Showdown has ditched its PlayStation 4 version completely, showing off Unreal Engine 5 visuals for the PS5 version. It's like, fuck it, it's holding us back. We're cutting them loose. Something that Xbox should do with the Series S. And lastly, Quantic Dream's Star Wars Eclipse has lost its lead writer, because that's all that game needed now.
Yeah, well, Quantic Dream's also having fun, just in general, over the last X amount of years. That's a shame. Like, I was going to play it because I like Star Wars. In the same way that everyone's like pooping on Star Wars Outlaws, I'm going to play the fuck out of Star Wars Outlaws. Like, are you shitting me? Like, why the hell not? Why the hell would I not want to play that?
Why would I want to play a Star Wars game where I can't use fucking space magic?
All the time.
No.
One of my biggest contentions with Star Wars is, why does everyone have to be a fucking Skywalker? Why does it have to be a fucking Jedi?
I don't have to be a Star. I want to use space magic. If I'm playing a game set in Star Wars, I want to be able to ride fucking flying motorbikes.
There is a speeder bike in this game. Speeder bike in Outlaws.
I want to be able to space battles.
I can't confirm that one.
I want space magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I want lightsabers.
Okay.
I don't give a shit about anything else.
Yeah. I, look, I, like,
It would be like, hang on, it would be like playing fucking Spider-Man and only playing as Peter Parker the entire game.
I see where you're coming from. I disagree, but I see where you're coming from. Because like for me, what I love about Star Wars is all of it. Like it's the world, it's the universe, right? And it's one of the things that shits me off the most is how everything has to involve this one family. Or like, you know, and you know, as much as everyone poos on The Last Jedi, one of its greatest things ever was the idea of that Rey is nobody. And like that was a really cool concept, and that you know, that the ability to be a hero is within all of us. It's not about your lineage, it's not about whatever. And then Rise of Skywalker's like, no, fuck that noise. It's entirely about lineage. So that I hate, but what I'm excited about this is that, you know, the world is big. Star Wars as a universe is bigger than this one family, as I mentioned. So like, I want to see what it's like to be a smuggler. I want to see what it's like to go to worlds that don't end in Hween. You know, like I don't want to see another fucking Tatooine, Dantooine, Bongtooine. I don't fucking, give me some worlds that aren't them. And hopefully Outlaws has done that. Like I watched the first trailer and I went, I'm in, and then I've not watched anything since. Like I put a review request in, we'll wait and see what happens. But like, I want to see worlds that aren't that. And I think the only way we're going to see worlds that aren't that is if we step outside the normal storytelling of Star Wars.
I still don't see why I can't have that and space powers.
Because
why can't I have that and space magic?
Look, it's the same. It's the same problem that we kind of saw in Star Wars Jedi Survivor and a bunch of other Star Wars, and especially, actually, no, I lie, all of the Star Wars properties since Force Awakens is Order 66 killed all the Jedi except this one and that one and that one. Oh, and that one and that one and that one. Oh, and that one. Like, it just suddenly, like, everyone's not fucking dead. Like, the idea was everyone but Yoda and Obi-Wan. Like, the actual balance of the Force, right? You know, two Jedi, two Sith. That's what it should have been. But no. It was two Sith and, like, 7,800 Jedi that somehow dodged getting murdered. Mute in the chat goes, what, like a Star Wars cooking show? Fuck yes. I have almost bought a Star Wars cooking cookbook with the idea of that sounds dumb. And, yeah, I absolutely would do that. Oh, speaking of, the Horizon cookbook comes out soon. But yeah, that's my stance.
I don't have a list of upcoming games.
No upcoming games?
No. Oh. I'm sure there's coming games, but I could not find a list. And yeah, I just... lazy.
It's Sunday. It's late on a Sunday. We had a week off. It's getting tired. All right, well, that's...
We got lazy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But of course, big thank you everyone that did jump in and join the show. Well, big thank you to those that listened. You know, I appreciate being able to have a week off. It was really nice. But you know the best part about what we do? No one probably cared. But for those of you that did, thank you. But yeah, we'll be back next week. I'll have a bit more of my studio space set up. It sounds like I don't think there's a major issue with the acoustics, which is I'm really happy about. But it does feel good to be back. It did throw me out not having this last week. It always does, but it's always good to be back. Well, I'm glad we still caught up though, like on our usual Sunday, but it just wasn't in front of us.
What are we doing for PAX weekend?
Oh, we'll record something at PAX. I'm sure they'll have an AT booth again or whatever. We'll just upload it on the Monday or the Tuesday.
Cool.
Sweet. All right, Max, you know how this goes.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are watching this, if you're listening to this on podcast services, give a 5-star rating and a review. Watch us on YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as merchandise tour popculturist.com /shop, where you can buy shirts and other sort of shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.